Good morning. It is Monday. Welcome to a new week on the Home of Sport SEN. It is breakfast with Vossie and the Missile. James Magnuson just in the house, just getting last minute preparations done out of his trailer, getting the nails done, the hair done. He'll be with us in just a moment. But how are you feeling? Well, how are you feeling? The Socceroos, wow, what could have been, maybe, almost, what a weekend. I tell you what, it was great viewing. Gee, you were up and down out of your lounge chair the whole morning, or if you're at a live site, it was so exciting, and you just couldn't get that extra goal. Look, we are here broadcasting on the Home of Sport through 11:70 a.m. here in Sydney, 8:01 a.m. Central Coast, 15:75 a.m. Illawarra, 90.3 FM in Griffith, 13:23 a.m. Canberra, and across Queensland for the first hour at the very least, with Patton Hills on board from 6 a.m. Queensland time. 6:93 a.m. Brisbane, 16:20 a.m. Gold Coast at the SEN Track Network. We'll actually have Ian Healy on the program a little later on this morning, reviewing the first test, Australia and the West Indies. Hello to all our listeners on the SEN app. That has had an absolute workout, the SEN app, and so it should. You're listening to all the Football World Cup, all of the Test cricket. Great coverage of both big events. Right here on SEN, so great to have your company. And those listening belatedly via the podcast, thank you for your support throughout the year 2022 and all the downloads and the minutes you've listened to this particular program. Don't forget, if you can't tune in live, you can listen via our podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. Also, John Aloisi coming up on the program later this morning, Western United coach, Socceroos legend, member of the 06 World Cup squad. So we'll get his expert analysis of what happened yesterday. Michelle Bishop with sports updates from 6:45. This is going to be some sort of show today. James Magnuson, how are you feeling?
Feeling good. I see voice is a little husky. I was hoping it would be a little more Sean Connery and a little less teenage boy with his voice breaking.
No, but, Sean Connery, I must say, not monkeypox, no, all clear on that?
No,
I think... spicy cough?
I think it's just a big silly season. It's that time of year, a few late nights, a few early mornings down there at Tribe. Obviously, you and I were up at 4:30 last weekend to get down to Bondi for the nude photo shoot for skin cancer. So it's good to see you in clothes this morning, Vossie. It's a nice change.
Been a while since we chatted. James, David Gumpney. The Socceroos, man. Just if you just relive, can we just replay a few moments? And love to hear our listeners' thoughts on it and how you reacted and jumping up and down. And did you think, oh, man, goal right at the finish. What if he just kicked it just a little higher towards the right corner, 18 years of age, comes on, super sub, bang, into penalty shootout. Andrew Redmayne comes out, suddenly says an Argentina out. That was my dream. I saw a flash of it. It was like it was taken away.
Did you find your young fella got around the soccer more as a result of this World Cup?
Don't worry about my young fella. What about my wife, Simone? She was there watching. She was screaming. She got a little confused at one point. There's a ball pushed out of the corner and she thought Argentina was going to score. And I said, no. And she said, oh, silly me. It's not rugby league, is it? He got the ball out in the corner with no one in front of him. I said, no. You got to shoot it at the net. She just got lost her way there for a little bit. So attuned is she to watching rugby league. Look, let's get on to the good points. Let's just rev ourselves up in the morning. The goal we did score against Argentina, and I really do think 2-1 loss to Argentina in round of 16 is one of the more extraordinary sporting results by an Australian team all time. That's where I rank it, but I obviously will be open to debate this morning, yourself included. But... The Goodwin goal, that had us absolutely think, oh, maybe we're a chance. Here it was on his ear.
Scooped up the left sideline, clipped away by Molina. Back into midfield for Moy. Bajic bursts past Molina. Good turn of foot there from Aziz Bajic. Looks up, gets a cross in. Clearance not... a slight deflection. Oh, and it's a goal for Australia. Craig Goodwin has scored from a long way out. Heavy deflection, completely wrong-footed. Emiliano Martinez... Enzo Fernandez, the midfielder, is the culprit. And Australia have a goal in this round of 16 clash. And there is just under 15 minutes to go.
Yeah, just under 15 to go. All of our updates, of course, for the World Cup, thanks to Kraken, your secure crypto partner. Get in the game at kraken.com or download the app. They did actually give it as an own goal, though, I think, officially, on the score sheet. So Craig Goodwin is not credited with that goal in the World Cup. But it was still a moment, James. It was still a moment. Did you see moments? I mean, where do you put it? I mean, you've competed on the world stage. You are the elite athlete here. On the SEN network, you've been part of an individual sport, but you've competed in relays and what have you. What you saw from the Socceroos as a team and the fight, where do you rank it?
Pretty highly. Certainly number one as far as soccer or football goes. I think this just outdoes our 2006 effort, just purely based off the stock that we had. We don't have anywhere near the lineup that we did back in 2006. So I was super impressed. And that goal, I just dared to dream after that goal. And the momentum switched. Everything was in our favour. It made the loss a little tougher to take. If it had just been 2-0 and we didn't get that goal, you'd go, we're fairly beaten. But I did. I dared to dream, Vossi. I was up out of the chair. One thing I did find out is there's a hell of a lot of Argentinians in Bondi.
The suburb
was buzzing every time Argentina got a goal. I thought they must have been on a delay or something and something happened for Australia. And suddenly I realised I'm surrounded by Argentinians in Bondi.
Yeah, look, well, that's nice to know, I suppose. And so they're your team. You now hopped on the Argentina bus as a result that you realise that your neighbours now.
Nah, not after they beat us. No, I'm off them.
No. By the way, England and Senegal is underway. No score through 9.5 minutes. And France through to the quarterfinals after their win over Poland this morning, 3-1. So far we have Netherlands playing Argentina in the quarterfinals and France to play the winner of England and Senegal. At 2 a.m. tomorrow, Japan and Croatia. The 6 a.m. game tomorrow is Brazil and South Korea. And then Wednesday morning, we're talking Morocco, Spain and Portugal, Switzerland. And that will determine the top eight. But
Who's your team now, Vossi? What bandwagon?
On A team? Oh, yeah.
Look like Morocco, maybe.
The Moroccan bus. Will I hop on the Moroccan bus? I might go with the Dutch. Maybe I'll go with the Netherlands.
The Dutch.
I'll go with the Dutch. I'll get the clogs out. We'll get the clogs out. Hashtag put your clogs out. Have your say. Where do you rank it? What you've watched there, think of, and I want to put this the nicest possible way, think of great Australian defeats. Is there any other way to put it? Great Australian defeats, great efforts where Australia has lost. Come up with some examples and put what happened against Argentina into the picture. Let us know. 1-300-01-1170. You can text 0457-736-736. Great Australian defeats. And have your say. If you want to wax lyrical about the Socceroos, they are due back into Australia tonight, both in Sydney and Melbourne, flights coming in. The Socceroos, just for the record, James, a little bit of a stock take, have only ever won 4 matches at a FIFA World Cup in 6 finals appearances, including 2 at this tournament. Football Australia says it will now undertake a review into the 2.5-year campaign as it commences preparations for the next 4-year cycle and will sit down with Graham Arnold once he returns to Australia after a, quote, well-deserved break. So, highlights out of the World Cup, the 2 victories, the win against Tunisia, the first tournament, the 1-0 scoreline, the first clean sheet. They ended up with 2 at the tournament. So, real fight and a highlight for a lifetime for the players that competed. And let's hope there's a few of them that get another crack.
I think we started that review for Football Australia right here on The Breakfast Show. It starts at grassroots. We need to reduce the cost of entry to the sport of soccer. The other thing I was wondering when I was watching this game the other night, so we don't really have any big names in that Australian team. How many EPL teams or Spanish teams or Italian teams would have been watching that Australian 11 the other night thinking there's something there. I think there might be a few big contracts coming off the back of this World Cup for some Australian players.
Well, it's pretty incredible with young Quoll because he now goes off to Newcastle. So he has not started a game at the elite level. That hasn't started. He's up against, on the same pitch as Lionel Messi, is a kid, 18, who has not started a game at elite level and almost pulls off a goal that could have got 2-2. As I said, my flash, my dream. Andrew Redmayne comes out, great, Wiggle saves the ball and we go through. Anyway, I'll move on eventually. Maybe not today, I won't be able to move on. But Gold now goes off to Newcastle in the EPL, and I'm hopping on the Newcastle bus, so I'm going to follow his progress. But Suter, you know, at Stoke, his stocks must have risen enormously. Yeah, he was coming off a knee reconstruction, James. You know, he's only now played, what, 5 games since total knee reconstruction. His performance was dynamic, was fantastic. And right at the end yesterday, Graham Arnold pushed him up front. We were playing 5 up front. He could have been a hero, but he probably lays claims to being a hero just on what was achieved over the couple of weeks.
It's a really interesting almost scouting mission for clubs, isn't it? It's probably something that we don't quite have in rugby league because we don't have the same world game, but you'd imagine there'd be scouts from every team there. And yes, Suter's the first one that came to mind for me. If he's not centre back at a big club in the EPL or Spain after this, I'd be shocked.
Big man. Are you taller than him or is he taller than you?
He's 6'8". I'm 6'5". That's huge.
He's got you. All right. So nil all England, Senegal, 14 minutes in. Have your say on the Socceroos. If you want to wax lyrical, your best moment for the Socceroos, how you enjoyed the match. Did you introduce new fans? I mean, we all became football experts, didn't we? As the Socceroos went through to the round of 16 and watching yesterday, we all had advice for Graham Arnold. We all had advice for every player, just about. And all our updates, thanks to Kraken, like a leading keeper. With Kraken, your crypto is in good hands. Kraken.com. Now, onto the Test cricket. Australia going one up in the series, and it's on again Thursday afternoon in Adelaide, the pink ball test. But victory over the West Indies, it was competitive, far more competitive than a lot of people thought it was going to be. Here is Jared Waitley calling the final ball on SEN as Australia went 1-0 up.
Great innings by Steve Smith.
And then the very next ball, Craig Brathwaite has brought the field in. It's impossible. So Nathan Lyon with a chance to finish it. Kemar Roach is injured. He's there. Yeah. He's beaten his bowls. Nathan Lyon goes straight through. He takes 6. And Australia wins the test in Perth. They keep their perfect record intact at this ground. And they claim the Frank Worrell Trophy. The margin of victory is 164 runs. Defied and defied by the West Indies. But at the end, broken.
So, did the Test cricket float your boat, James? I mean, there's some pretty big moments in it. I mean, Manus Labuschagne, double ton and century. Nathan Lyon, 6 wicket second innings. Steve Smith, the 200. And as I said, some fight from the West Indies, which was good to see.
Yeah, I think the thing I liked about the match being over in Perth is it's a little bit of a day-nighter for us here on the East Coast. So I sort of had it as, you know, it's the background music or background event in the house over that
enormous
5
rap.
Days.
Enormous rap.
Yeah. But with all the soccer going on and everything else, it took a back seat.
Well, Pat Cummins now has this quad strain. Mm. Says it's a small strain, short turnaround. Would they risk him? Is it his call? James, would it be his call or not? Do you think others would say, no, Pat, I know you're the captain. Rest easy, old chap.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he risked himself. I think there's bigger things to come this summer for the cricket team, so I reckon he'll kick the feet up for the next test.
All right, well, here's another talkback topic for you. In light of yesterday, I was actually at the brother-in-law's place yesterday. He's never been a Nathan Lyon fan. Never been a Nathan Lyon fan, and sort of disparaging remarks. Ah, well, see if he can bowl us to victory. If he doesn't get 5 today, he should give it up. Hand his keys in. Well, Nathan Lyon finishes with 6 for 128 off 42.5 overs. He now has 446 test wickets at 31.91. His strike rate is 65. He's 35 years of age. Is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? Is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? Or does he get wickets part of a foursome that, you know, he's always had very good fast bowlers around him? Where does he rank? The figures are great. The average may be a little bigger than what you expect next to a great bowler. But is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? Let us know what you think. 1300 01 11 70. Text 0457 736 736. Throw that question at you, James. Is Nathan Lyon a great bowler?
I think he is, Vossi. I think it probably depends on what generation you grew up watching cricket. So a whole generation was spoilt with Shane Warne straight into Stuart McGill, and they had these expectations of Australian spinners that were almost unattainable after they retired. And for the next generation who didn't maybe see or appreciate as much the Shane Warne era, they grew up with Nathan Lyon, and they call him the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
So he's off spinner. The leg spinner's more...
It's more exciting, isn't it?
More intriguing. It's exciting. Yeah, exactly. Rips the ball. Nathan Lyon doesn't rip it.
No.
So is that part of it? Now, just comparing him with Warney in terms of strike rate. Shane Warne's average, by the way, was 25.41 for his 708 test wickets. But his strike rate was a wicket every 57 balls. On that basis, if you just look at strike rate, Nathan Lyon's not that far behind. It's a wicket every 65 balls in his test career. Warney's was one every 57. So that sort of is a strong part of the argument. But you can have your say. We love our cricket. We love debating cricket. Is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? Now, briefly, other sport, not a great day for Australians at the Australian Open Golf yesterday. A lot of crashing and burning. Polish player Adrian Mronk winning the men's. South African golfer Ashley Buhai winning the women's. The NBL... Ben Rossley, our producer, is coming today raving about a day at the Kings at Kudos Bank Arena. He's worn the purple in today. He's got the whole gear on. He's a Kings man now. He hadn't been to the NBL for a long time watching it live. And yesterday he's gone out there and he said to me, his quote was, "When James is old enough, I'm going to take him every week." His little fella James is now a king for life without him knowing. So the Kings is still a great day or night out. James, do you back that up? The NBL?
Well, I've never been to a live game, to be honest, Vossi.
There we go.
Yeah. Kings home ground, is that out at Homebush?
Home court.
Yeah.
Home court. That's it. Get with the home, language, home ground, yeah. You're the wrong person to ask that, obviously.
Yeah, I am.
But 97-78 over the Adelaide 36ers. If there's listeners out there who went along to the Kings, talk it up. Sell the product to people like James, how good the day and night out is at Kudos Bank Arena, and the Kings are back top of the table. So there's a few things to talk about. The cricket, Nathan Lyon, the football, the Socceroos, and the World Cup, and any predictions want to go in from here. Best defeats, best efforts by an Australian side when defeated. Give us some examples this morning on the text 0457 736 736. You can call the McDonald Jones open line, or the open line, 1300 01 1170. This is Breakfast with Vossi. That's the missile. He's got a little bit of monkeypox, but he'll battle through because he is an elite sportsman, one of the best. It is Vossi and the missile. Brandy's done and dusted for the year. Q's in the rack. Done. Greg Alexander, he'll be back next year. Now, James, let's rip into some texts nice and early. 27 and a half minutes after 6 in New South Wales, 27 and a half after 5 in Queensland, James. Text line.
Yeah, opening the batting today, Vossi, you've got Mark. He says Argentina would be the team he wants to win now, because if they win, we would get knocked out by the world champs, just like Italy in 2006. That bit of hope, maybe one day.
Yeah, okay, all right. So I'm not hopping on the Argentina bus.
No, I don't like getting beaten by Argentinians, so I'm off it.
It was quite a goal, wasn't it, Lionel Messi? Let's give credit where it's due. That was a pretty amazing goal. And you saw Graham Arnold's reaction. No! We can't give him half a second, because look what he can do. Really special goal. I've always thought that a coach's sole job is making a team better than the sum of its parts. On that criteria, Graham Arnold has surely announced himself as one of the best coaches in Australian sporting history, says Tim. A wrap for Graham Arnold.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, Tim. This one from Jody from the Lake. Hey, fellas, looking forward to another week of fun on SEN. I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I did do my Aussie duty and I watched the game on the weekend. Great effort by the Aussie squad, but if soccer wants to get more fans, they need to get rid of these ridiculous diving to try and get penalties. The game could be way better without that rubbish. Have a good one, boys.
Oh, yeah, I please. Agree. I mean, it is, yes, I had to explain that a few times. That last one where the goalkeeper went down when he wouldn't have knocked a maggot off a chop.
Yeah.
And he's gone down like he's dead. He's in pain. I mean, it's embarrassing.
They're too far gone, though, aren't they?
How could you do it if you're... Just if you're a player, how could you do it? How could you act like that, like you are just rolling around like you've just had your spleen and your kidney ruptured, and then you get up 10 seconds later and you're good as gold? How can you do that?
Very embarrassing.
Oh, anyway, I'm a Jody of the Lake. This one, he's not a great bowler, he's the GOAT. We're talking about Nathan Lyon. Two games that come to mind, Australia versus England at the MCG when Thompson and Border nearly got us over the line. Yeah, these are great defeats. These are very good examples. When Thompson and Border nearly got us over the line, and the Adelaide Test against the West Indies when McDermott was caught with two balls remaining and Border blowing up in the change room. Yeah, I remember that one too, caught behind and just a little nibble on it. Yeah, they're very good examples there from Drew of great Australian defeats, both from cricket. And the greenkeeping rooster says, morning, Vossie and Missile. Nathan Lyon is absolutely a great bowler. His record stands up in any era because off-spin bowling is a tough gig in Australian conditions, and he sure does give it a rip because of the drop he gets on the ball, the greenkeeping rooster. So well done putting the case forward. And he's out on the mower this morning. I need to get some tips from the greenkeeping rooster. If you got time to ring, did a lot of whippersnippering on the weekend, James. And bloody hell, the reel kept on breaking. Like sometimes I only get 30 seconds out of the reel. Other times you get like 10 minutes out of it. How does that work? I'm dropping the reel in the bucket of water to make it supple and make it a bit softer. But the whippersnipper, what a pain in the ass when it keeps on snapping.
I haven't heard that. Get the screwdriver I haven't out, heard the water trick
place
before.
Place a little bit of thread through it again.
Yeah, it's a punishing. Pain in the bum.
Punishing. Must have changed it 100 times. Greenkeeping Rooster to help. Jay the Bookman's there with a joke. This is the last week for the year for Jay. We'll call this the 5 days of Janus. 5 days of Janus. Remember, there's a J at the front of that. The 5 days of Janus. Jay, what's your joke on day five? Or is it one? I don't know. Where you go?
Yeah, Vossie, I hope this doesn't affect you with your Mr. Voss candles range, but I don't know if you saw that story on the news about the candle factory that burnt to the ground. No one did anything to quell the fire. Everyone just gathered around and sang happy birthday.
Right, okay. Thanks, Jay. That's the start of the 5 days of Janus. No reaction from James?
That wasn't up there. It was one of his best. I'm worried for the next 4 days now.
All right. No, Jay's there. Lovely plug for Mr. Voss candles as well. Great Christmas idea. It is time for the news. Well done, Vanessa. Well done. We're here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. Their phone number is 1-800-848-848. Now, this is the part of the show where you can have your say. Text us on 0457 736 736, or give us a call on the open line 1300 01 1170. We should mention also this morning the supercars yesterday. So down in Adelaide, gee, they had big crowds. It was, things are back to normal, James. Things are back to normal. And the last sort of day of Holden and getting the victory, and rookie Brock Feeney, he calls it a life-changing day, getting a victory there, outlasting Chas Mostart. So to take Holden's last ever win at the Adelaide 500.
Who do they replace Holden with?
It's a great question.
Yeah, so is it just Ford versus Ford next season? Or I may be a little bit ignorant. I don't watch a lot of
V8s.
But Datsuns, or is it the Camrys? The Toyota Camry enters next year?
Toyota Camry, yeah, we'll get all of that. But anyway, that's part of it, James. Well done. And the Sheffield Shield, New South Wales lost again. Seriously. I've got a quiz question for you, James. This is for $1.7 million if you get the answer.
Oof.
Okay, cash, $1.7 million. Okay. That was Sheffield Shield action yesterday. That was the sixth round of Sheffield Shield completed yesterday, and New South Wales lost to Victoria in another couple of games there. Queensland drew with WA, and South Australia beat Tasmania, right? So they've all played six matches. Yep. For $1.7 million, give me the date of the next game in the Sheffield Shield competition.
Okay, so the 5th of December today, I will say the 12th of December.
9th of February.
Okay.
So there's no Sheffield Shield. There is no first in a cricket summer. We now go over 2 months without any domestic first-class cricket.
It's like a university holiday, isn't it? One of those end of semester.
Two months. 2 month break in the competition. Now it's all Big Bash and a bit of Marsh Cup thrown in, and that's it. So the Shield just goes into hibernation. How do you get a competition like that? No continuity. Anyway, so the $1.7 million. There's a text come through. That length of time sounds like a brandy holiday. Thank you for that text there. At 24 minutes to 7, all right, back into text. James, I'll let you read out the reptile.
The reptile says, Vossi, 5 days of Janus. What comes at the end? Crap Kringle? Could well be.
Yeah, thank you. This one from Jace. Morning, boys. Messi is now my third favourite Lionel, behind Lionel Rose and Lionel Richie.
Ah.
Hello. It's me you're looking for. there we go. So Lionel Messi, you'd be really pleased to hear that. Or is it Lionel? Is he Lionel or is he Lionel? I think he's a Lionel.
Lionel. Yeah, different. Different. Martin, good morning, team. The live sites for the Socceroos were unbelievable. There was incredible support for our national team. What I'd really like to see now is people getting out to A-League games. It's so important to keep the momentum going leading up to next year's Women's World Cup. Look, I can get around the World Cup, Martin. A-League, it's just, you're pushing your luck there.
That's a good question Martin's just thrown out there. So he's hoping that it will. There's a question for you, listening right now. Has the effort of the Socceroos inspired you to say, damn, I'm going to go to an A-League game? I don't think I've heard anyone say that.
No.
Well, why is that?
Because it was quite a few players in that Australian team who play in the A-League.
Yes. But it doesn't want to make you go and watch football live. You're happy just to soak in the national. But no, the A-League, it's a problem, isn't it? Outback Jack helping us on the supercars. It's Ford Mustang versus Chevrolet Camaro next year, James.
That sounds like an American series, doesn't it? The Ford Mustangs versus the Chevrolet Camaros.
Yeah nice. A crowd total for the cricket over the 5 days, he says, 42,000. Crowd total for the supercars in Adelaide over 4 days, 252,000.
Wow.
Cricket Australia have a problem. I think you might have undercut that too. I think I read somewhere 258,000, to be honest. Adelaide was just pumping, absolutely pumping. Yeah, I've got... I think it was 258. Anyway, who's going to fight over those figures? This massive figures, over a quarter of a million, put it that way, went along to the supercars. Dead set, Saturday's crowd at the cricket, those aerial shots, and there's some beautiful drone shots and what have you. I reckon there was two. I reckon I had time in the high shot to count everyone. That's how few there were. I reckon, mate, 2,000 people tops.
Do you think?
And the game was still, like, there was a lot to look forward to. Australia was batting.
Yeah.
2,000 people on a Saturday.
As far as Test match cricket goes, and, you know, I'm a casual cricket fan, but probably the only two Test matches that really get me up and going these days would be the Ashes, obviously, but India, when they come out to tour. Sometimes I struggle to get excited about a team like the West Indies, and there's so much cricket to watch that you're not hanging out to see the Test match cricket. We've just been spoiled by a full World Cup of 2020 cricket. Heaps more to come this summer. So we're almost, there's so much cricket to take in that the Test seems like it's the first one that suffers.
Now, look, just for Kraken, big news for England fans. England, an absolutely clinically beautiful goal scored against Senegal. They've gone 1-0 up. All of our updates thanks to Kraken. Like a leading keeper with Kraken, your crypto is in good hands. Kraken.com. It really was a slick goal by England. 1-0 up, and now one step closer to playing France in the quarterfinals. France beating Poland earlier today, 3-1. A bit worried about you, James. I think you're a bit down. I think you've got a test. You've got something. A bit down on the supercars, a bit down on the basketball, a bit down on the cricket.
Yeah. I'm up for the soccer, though. There is one person, Vossi, sitting here in the studio, absolutely death-riding England this morning.
Mm. Yeah, let's
bring that in. Is Scottish producer Mark.
Hey, hello. Mark. How you going, Mark?
Yeah, doing well. I was good up until about a couple of minutes ago. my favourite team, the best team in the world, the mighty Senegal, just happened to be losing.
How cool a dude is the manager of Senegal? Have you ever seen a cooler dude on the sideline of a football game? Yeah, the dreadlock and the cap. Yeah. That's a look. Now, Mark, just want your opinion on diving, because you did share some thoughts with us during the last ad break, and I think we should share it with our listeners. So your thoughts, your overview of diving in football?
Yeah, if the players can get away with it, they should do it as much as they can, personally. They don't have a big enough fine against diving, and it's easy to get away with and time-wasting. So why not? Like, it's within the rules. You don't get a booking or you don't get sent off for diving as much. It's easier to get away with. If you're at the World Cup and it means the difference between getting to the quarterfinals or not is taking a dive for a penalty,
The diving. It's the rolling around in pain, Mark, that I have a problem with. I think James does too. It's carrying on like an absolute knob. On the ground.
You're trying to sell it to the referee. That's what it is.
Embarrassing.
It is, but like, it's a bit embarrassing, but like you do what you can to get the free kick, to get the penalty. That's what I think.
Who's the worst country for diving? Is it the South Americans?
Yeah, South Americans are pretty bad in general. Yeah.
I've seen Portugal, Neymar do a few shockers where Neymar throws himself around.
Yeah.
Hand up over the head. Embarrassing, Mark. Thank you for that input. Really valuable.
Yeah,
good thoughts. Have your say on what Mark's just saying. You know, he's going to be a new segment we're trialling today. You can fire back at the Scotsman. That's what we're going to call it. Is the Scotsman talking shite? That's the there's the name I've made up on the run. Yes or no? It is 17 minutes or 18 minutes to 7, roundabout 18 minutes to 6 in Queensland. This is Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile on the home of sport, SEN. Good text here. Our new segment, the Scotsman, is he talking shite? This one here, question for the Scotsman, what's going on with bagpipes? They're the worst musical instrument ever invented. Tim, any response there, Mark?
I kind of agree with you there, Tim. They're not the best. They're bad. They're very bad.
I'm patriotic.
Wailing. Sorry.
All right. England have got a second goal, have they?
Oh. 2-0. Sorry,
it looks like Harry Kane.
To make your day. It's day three of Joel and Fletcher's 9 days of Dogmas. We all love being with our family for Christmas, and like us, dogs want to be with family too. So together with Greyhounds as Pets, we are making it our mission to find a home for these beautiful dogs in time for Christmas. Today, meet Sunny, who can catch toys when you throw them to her and is apartment suitable. If you love the sound of Sunny, all you need to do is head to gapnewsouthwales.com.au, which is Greyhound as Pets, NSW. So gapnsw.com.au. Greyhounds as Pets, 9 days of Dogma. So 2-0 England over Senegal at the World Cup for Kraken. Also on the text, I think the Scotsman has been on the silly sauce early this morning. He is bad, icky, saying it's okay to cheat to get a penalty. Come on, is this fair dinkum? So there you go. Very popular segment. Let's go to Michelle Bishop with a sports update. And good morning, Michelle. Are you a bagpipes fan? That's a question you weren't expecting to get asked on a Monday morning.
Definitely not expecting that question, but yeah, don't mind a bagpipe.
What if it's your neighbours? What if it's your neighbours learning the bagpipes? Would you be a fan of that?
No. That would be something very different. We'd have to be either having a serious talk or I'll be meeting them at council.
Yeah, it could be slightly hideous. But an accomplished bagpipe player as a neighbour is okay, but a rookie bagpipist is not cool. Now, Michelle, Parramatta is in the news. I'm reading all sorts of headlines today. Wayne Bennett closing in on Dylan Brown. Mitchell Moses getting a bit speared there for not having loyalty. Where are we at with the playmakers at Parramatta?
Yeah, well, Phil Rothfield is reporting that Mitchell Moses has been offered that $1 million a season to stay at the Eels. And I did say this at the very beginning. This is going to play out. It's going to have all sorts of twists and turns. He obviously holds the trump card, contracted for 2023. And there was even talk of the West Tigers, as I went off last week to go and do my homework, that they'd try and secure him for 2023. And I think that was more wishful thinking at the time. I think when it was floated, we're all like, yeah, right. Yeah, nah. But anyway, he's in the prime of his career. Guys, and experts say he's probably in the top three playmakers in the game. So Nathan Cleary and Jerome Hughes. He's just started a family, and you'd think that a 3 or 4 year deal at the age of 28, he'd expect it to be probably his last substantial one. Canterbury and the West Tigers are the two sides competing for his services that we know of. But Rothfield's pointed out a very interesting fact, and that is the fact that he's concerned just about how much the jersey means to Mitchell Moses. You take the likes of Cam Munster, he could have got more money, had more dollars in the bank, you know, going to the West Tigers or to the Dolphins, but he stuck with the Storm because the jersey meant something. We've seen something similar with Nathan Cleary. He didn't even test the market at Penrith. He's Penrith through and through. Look, and in fairness to Mitchell Moses, it could be that he's just, you know, letting all this play out and all the conversations unfold and he has every intention of staying at Parramatta, but that's certainly not, you know, the indication. He's out there looking for the best deal. And as I say, he holds the trump card and he'll play this out for as long as he needs to.
And in other news, Michelle, a Dragons legend has teed off in the club.
Yeah, Matty Cooper. So it was a 10-year premiership reunion, or 12 years because of the COVID interruption. So it's supposed to be one of those really special times where you catch up with old teammates and you reminisce and you talk about, you know, obviously the 2010 premiership and I guess about how life is today. But he was a no-show and he was like quite open about it in terms of going on social media. And I think that's what sort of has kind of put people offside. It's kind of like, well, did you have to go and do that? He basically wanted to apologise and found that was the only way that he could apologise to his 2010 premiership teammates for not attending. I've got a quick quote for you. And the reason why I did not attend was I didn't want to make a scene and ruin a special occasion. Knowing former CEO Peter Doust, obviously, and a player who did not even play in the game were going to be there. Obviously, people jumped back on social media saying, you know, you had to be the bigger and the better person. Why tweet it? And he said, you know, he felt that it was the only way that that he could get his message across. So, guys, he had some issues in retirement, you know, a few sort of struggles with you know, not playing anymore. I think he had maybe talked about some addiction to painkillers and things. So there could be a fair bit going on for Matt Cooper. Massive fan of his. But I just think he's gone about this the wrong way because he's sort of talking about maybe, you know, I'll tell you more next year. Just doesn't, it's like you've let the cat out of the bag. Well, mate, just come out with all of it. What's happening? What's really going on? There was some talk about him being promised a career, you know, post his playing days, and that didn't come to fruition. But to me, he's basically come out sounding like there's something a little more sinister.
I feel a
That's
book.
That's the way he's left it, my opinion, anyway.
I feel a book.
Flogging a book?
Yeah, I feel a book.
Oh. I said that very thing to my husband yesterday. I said, yeah. Either flogging a book or we've got legal action. Nothing's happening.
Yeah. Do we know who the player was that didn't play in their 2010 grand final and attended?
You know what? I thought about, I should just go and have a look at the team list and see if he didn't play, but I didn't really get that far.
Yeah.
Boo, right. Sorry.
I didn't do enough research. Michelle, looking forward to the 7:45 update. Thank you. You've opened the batting today well. Got a few runs.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Michelle Bishop with the sports updates right here on Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile on the Home of Sport SEN. All right, it is Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile right now. Let's go straight to Comsec's Tom Petrovsky. A little bit of business, perhaps, but people wanting to ask, there's questions here straight off the bat. Has Petrovsky ever taken a dive? That's what our listeners want to know. Tom, you ever taken a dive?
Look, the great Midnight Oil song comes to mind. It's better to live on your feet than die on your knees. So short answer, no. No, there wouldn't be any diving going on.
Didn't expect that. Well done, Tom. Well done. Any business news to report, mate? Start of the week.
Plenty of business news. Vossie, we actually saw a bit of a recovery for US markets on Friday. They were well in negative territory, but clawed their way back. The S&P 500, having been down by more than 1%, finished down by 0.1%. They actually had some stronger employment figures in the US. Not only were there more jobs created, but wage growth was stronger than expected. So they got a bit jittery about the shape of the next rate hike. On the local front, we'll still kick off in positive territory this morning by about 0.33%. A big week on the local front. We've got growth figures on Wednesday, and tomorrow we've got an RBA decision. The US dollar strengthened a little bit at the weekend, so the Aussie dollar has been pushed down to 67.7 US cents.
It is Monday morning, a new week. England football fans pretty happy at the moment. 2-0 leaders over Senegal at the World Cup, round of 16. Second half underway. France beating Poland earlier this morning, 3-1. And all our updates on the Football World Cup. Thanks to Kraken, your secure crypto partner. Get in the game at kraken.com or download the app. I've been talking about plenty of things this morning. Among them, best defeats by an Australian side. In light of the Socceroos' defeat to Argentina, I've got it up very high. James, same deal. James Magnuson, co-host this morning, as he will be all week. But nominate some other examples of great performances by Australian teams in defeat, or it can be individuals. I mean, I'm thinking of you, James.
Seemed less freestyle. Great at the time.
one hundredth of a second, was it?
Yeah, 1/100th.
1/100th of a second.
A bee's proverbial.
Yeah. Have you watched that back?
I don't think so. I don't think I've watched it start to finish. But I've seen like the touch in highlights and stuff like that. So yeah.
Did you ever have long fingernails? Would that have made a difference?
I think that was a request of a recent sponsor of the sport of swimming, was that the swimmers in the team grow their fingernails longer to win those tight finishes. And it wasn't passed on to the coaches and therefore wasn't well received.
No.
Yeah, read into that what you will.
All right. Now, we're also talking about post-cricket, the first test completing, and Nathan Lyon yesterday picking up 6 for 128 off 42.5 overs. Is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? Can you, every time you talk about Nathan, can you put the expression great? The great Nathan Lyon. I know we have a bit of fun with him, obviously, calling him the GOAT, but is he a great bowler? We're getting mixed reaction to it. The figures stack up. 35 years of age now, 446 wickets at 31.91. Is it the average that stops you? He's an off-spinner, not the leg spinner. Strike rate of one wicket every 65 balls. Is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? You can have your say today on 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Just a somber note to start this hour of the program. Absolutely devastated, James. I don't know whether you ever came across Paul Broughton in your time supporting rugby league, but Paul passed away suddenly over the weekend, age 91. Paul, former Balmain and a Newtown coach, he's the man in which the Gold Coast Titans Player of the Year is named after, the Paul Broughton medal they get. He was the founding CEO and chairman and rugby league from head to toe. Right up to the point, and he's been a great supporter of mine over the years too, right up to the point where he was very active on Twitter. 91 years of age, James, that he would respond to fans on Twitter who put forward, you know, opinions on rugby league, and he would take that on board and provide feedback, and constantly thinking about the game of rugby league and ideas, and was certainly invested in the World Cup recently with ideas to take international football forward, and he was in touch with me. And in fact, I had an exchange with Paul only on Friday. And it seems rather trivial now. He was a big fan of my food reports from the Rugby League World
Cup. Yep.
And he sent out a message just on Friday to me. And you know where I was when I got the message? I was at a Chinese restaurant in Mossvale. So I sent back a message, a photo of the mixed entree saying, Paul, eat your heart out. And that's the last exchange I had with Paul. And that's as trivial as it gets now. And yet he dies suddenly over the weekend. Anyone who's had anything to do with Paul Broughton would say, gentlemen, Mr. Rugby League, absolute champion. All of those things. A great man, and Rugby League far poorer for his loss. And, you know, I tell you who was mentored by Paul Broughton was Phil Gould. Phil Gould would be absolutely shattered. Gus would be shattered at the passing of Paul Broughton. Everyone just called him coach. He was one of the game's great thinkers, if you like, and just respected by everyone. So to family and friends of Paul Broughton, our condolences, but Rugby League has lost a great man over the weekend, Paul Broughton. And it pings at my heart, but it's almost like, I'm glad that I had a funny exchange with him. It was my last one. That it was over a Chinese restaurant feed that he was, you know, but just so sharp of mind, 91 years of age. Great man, Paul Broughton. Won an MCO Cup with Balmain, I reckon. He was coach when they won the MCO Cup one year. We're going back into the 70s, James.
Very good. Yeah, rest easy, Paul.
Yeah, great man. 7:09. So just for the record, Nathan Lyon, you are saying great bowler. You've got him locked in as a great, not the greatest, but a great bowler.
I've got him in the great category, Vossie.
Okay, so great. Does that mean legend?
Not in the legend category yet.
Not in legend category?
No.
Great. Okay. Football World Cup, what bus are you going to hop on from here now that the Socceroos are out?
I'm going to say this just to piss off our producer, Mark. I'm on the English bus.
We're on the English bus, yeah. Sorry, Mark. Yeah, look, in light of what Mark's our, you know, Scotsman, I reckon he bungs on the accent, but Panther George has been on the text. He says, morning, boys. As a fellow Scot, I too am death riding England. All my life, I've been told about England's win in the 1966 Cup, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't go through it again, says Panther George. Mark, do you concur?
Yeah, it's very annoying how they keep going on about this tournament from ages ago. And it's like, you kind of want them to win it because then they'll stop talking about 66. But what's more annoying, them talking about the win in 2022 or the win in 1966? So I'll stick with 66.
Yeah, they are the perennial underachievers when it comes to World Cups, aren't they?
What a shame.
I remember when I was growing up, there must have been a year they were expected to win. And it showed footage back in England of them burning effigies of David Beckham after getting knocked out of the World Cup. Serious stuff.
It's not like the English don't overreact.
It's coming home. This one, and Mark too, with his own segment, and it may be for one day only because he's not going to be on deck tomorrow, but is the Scotsman talking shite is the segment. Morning Shaggers, 100% agree with you boys. The diving is disgraceful. The acting is so bad, makes the actors on Neighbours and Home and Away look like Oscar winners. But Mark believes diving, fair cop. If you can get away with it, get away with it. And doesn't have a great drama with blokes rolling around in agony on the ground, which we find absolutely embarrassing. But you can have your say on that. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. James, We spoke in the first hour. We haven't heard from any Kings fans yet. Anyone who was there at Qdos Bank Arena, Ben, our producer, has come back saying the Kings is still one of the best sporting events to go to live that you can do in this town. And he was there yesterday when the Kings beat the Adelaide 36ers 97-78. Now, I will back that up. I haven't been to a lot of Kings lately, but I still, almost to the point where I think the event is better than the sport. Like the actual night out or the afternoon, the entertainment, the buzz, the kids love it. But you haven't been there, James. Can I put a challenge out to you that you do take in one this summer?
Yep.
At least one?
Challenge accepted. Yeah, I'm open to going to a game.
All right, we'll get into James Smith. Maybe get you out to the Christmas Day one. Christmas Day. Oh, no, you'll be
I'll be up in Port Macquarie, won't you?
Yeah. Okay, all right. All right, but we'll see how we go. Illawarra Hawks are playing Melbourne United tonight. Kings are back on top of the table with that win and the Breakers. What happened there? Perth Wildcats beat the Breakers over the weekend, 92-84 on Saturday. Where'd that form come from Perth in New Zealand? Pretty amazing. Strong effort.
I was shocked, Fossey.
You were shocked? Yeah, you just can't get you. I'm trying to hook you in with the basketball, but you're just not buying into it. The golf was disappointing for Australians over the weekend. Adam Scott couldn't get the job done. Grace Kim, she double bogeyed the last in the women's, so that was all a bit disappointing, all of that with the golf. But whatever sport you took in over the weekend, share your thoughts. 1300 01 1170. Let's go to the open line right now at 13 after 7. Paul of Newcastle is there. Say g'day to James, Paul.
How you going, James? Good to hear you on the morning show again.
Thank you, Paul. Now, you've been watching some sport over the weekend that we haven't spoken about yet.
But none of the media outlets have spoken about it. You can get the exclusive on this, even though it happened on the weekend. Australian men won the World Cup in softball. They beat Canada 5-2 in the final.
Good stuff. Was that an upset, Paul, or were you expected to win?
Yeah, a bit of an upset. It's the second time we won it. We didn't do too well in the last few, but we've always been pretty good in the softball with the women in the Olympics. But, yeah, the men, they've brought home the bacon from Auckland over in New Zealand.
Yeah, so in New Zealand, so Australia winning. I'm looking at the result now, 5-2 in the final. They were the fourth seeds, and they've won it. So there you go. How strong is the sport of softball in Australia, if I may ask, Paul?
Mate, up here in Newey, I've been playing for a couple of years, but I'm a broken down old bloke. But, yeah, look, it's it's pretty good. It's absolutely terrifying how quick these guys can, and the girls, pitch an underarm, I'll tell you. It stings when it gets you.
Right. Okay. And so teams like the USA are strong. They've won it. They've won it five times. Canada's been prolific in picking up medals, very consistent. Not always gold. They've won gold four times, but Australia winning. Well, Paul, that's great that you've brought it to everyone's attention now. We are World Cup champions in softball, Paul. Crack open.
I'm actually very disappointed. Not one media outlet has brought it up.
Oh, I'll put my hand up, Paul. I didn't even know it was on. Like, I'm sorry. I did not know that the softball guy. World Cup was on. Did not know. Did not know. Wouldn't know where you go down to watch a softball game. I'm being as honest as I can get with you. Wouldn't know where you go to go and watch softball live. Wouldn't know of a softball league. Wouldn't know of any of the sides, Paul. But thank you for bringing it to the attention of all our listeners. And congratulations to everyone involved. England 3-0 up now against Senegal. So home and hosed, you would appear. Let's stay with the open line callers. Phil the Dragon is there. James from Canberra.
Morning, Phil.
Good morning, boys. Good morning. Vossie's just given you the challenge, James, about attending a Kings match.
Yes.
I think you should offer a counter challenge for Vossie to step foot on Bondi Beach.
I like it, Phil. I like it.
Under what circumstances do I have to go there?
I'm thinking a pair of Speedos for a starter.
Right.
We'll get you
Sluggos on Bondi
on
Beach.
Bondi Beach.
It shan't be happening. It shan't be happening, Phil. That challenge? Challenge not accepted.
Here I did.
Do you want to throw on the fish markets? Go to the fish markets? I won't be going to the fish markets.
You've never been to the fish markets either?
Never been to the fish markets, no.
What is doing, Vossie?
Well, why do I need to go to the fish markets? If the fish shop goes to the fish markets,
I think it's cheaper when you go direct.
Yeah,
more variety.
Yeah, all right. Well, Phil, have you got a third challenge? Anything else you want to challenge me to do that I'm not
going to
do?
No, mate, but on a semi-serious note, I follow, obviously, the St George Dragons, but I also follow Liverpool in the soccer, in EPL, and, I know all their players' names, et cetera, but when this Australian team was announced, to be honest, I didn't know apart from a couple of players like Matty Ryan, I didn't really know the names of the players because I don't follow the A-League. And I think that's probably a sentiment for a lot of the supporters. And it was great to see Australia do so well, but it's every 4 years I really get, involved in the Australian soccer team.
Who would you say, Phil, would be the household names now coming off the back of this World Cup?
Oh, Matty Ryan, apart from that blunder yesterday, he was fantastic in the lead-up games. He saved a lot of scoring opportunities. And, of course, Suter now is going to be snapped up by an EPL team, I'd say, for sure. And good luck to him. I think it's fantastic. And the young boy who signed with Newcastle, he's going to go places for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. That's what I said. We can all hop on the Newcastle bus in the EPL if you don't have a side and just follow this kid and see how it goes. The competition there resumes straight after Christmas. So he won't be flying home here. He'll go straight over there and join his squad. He's only spent a matter of days there, and now he'll join full time. Players playing in the Japanese leagues and playing in Scotland and that are representatives in this Socceroos side. We do have players spread all around the world. They're just not at the forefront. Not like we had Harry Kewell and Mark Viduka and Tim Cahill and those. They're not playing in the big leagues. But let's hope that they do find a path there. Very good call, Phil. I want to give you the Signet Power Boost Bank. I think you need a little boosting. You challenged me. I've rejected the challenge, which I'm entitled to do. I'm too old and stubborn. I won't be wearing Sluggos on Bondi Beach. I have no craving to dip my toes in the sand there. But I'm going to give you the Signet Power Boost Bank. Power up your phone.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much, boys. Yeah.
And it's as much a sympathy vote because you're a Dragons fan as well. Just throw that in.
Just a little dig on the way out.
Yeah.
Haven't lost a game for next season.
No, you haven't lost a game. No, that's true. That's true. And you'll get the bye next year too, so you're guaranteed two along the way somewhere with 17 teams in the comp.
Exactly,
so well done,
first round.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, first round. That's right, top of the table.
Oh, you're kidding.
Lock them in. They got the bye first round, the Dragons. Phil knows it. Phil knows. That's a T-shirt. Phil knows. He knows his stuff. Good call. This one, did you guys see Steve Smith? Do you reckon we could have a petition to get him a replacement baggy green? The peak is falling apart. His cap is frayed. But then if you ever saw Steve Waugh's cap, it's a long way short of Steve Waugh. Steve Waugh's was mangled.
Yeah, I remember Ricky Ponting's was pretty rough as well. It's like a badge of honour, isn't it? You can't be changing it.
But what if he wanted a new one? Would he be allowed to have one? Or you just got to stick with what you got?
I don't think he would. It wouldn't be protecting him from the sun much at the moment. He might be a bit burnt over the Australian summer, but I think it's a badge of honour.
Yeah, no, there'll be no GoFundMe for Steve Smith new baggy green. It's a matter of choice with him. This one from Kenny: the Germans actually think the Italians are the worst, best at diving and joke about them. So the Germans put the knife into the Italians in regards to diving. And morning, guys. I used to hate soccer players taking a dive and rolling around on the ground. Then I got over it. Hamstrings, Marvin. There you go. So yeah, nothing to get upset about. They're going to do it. Nothing's going to change. They carry on like ponces. Then so be it. So be it. 21 after 7, breakfast with Vossie and the Missile. We have Ian Healy coming up on the program this morning. We have John Aloisi as well. And, of course, your calls on 1300 01 1170. Say yeah, nah to Qatar and yes to sports bet, the easiest place to bet this World Cup. Gamble responsibly. Do you want to quickly run through, James, some of these football prices for us from Sportsbet?
Oh, I do, Vossie. So at 2 a.m. Tomorrow morning, we've got Japan, $3.90 against Croatia, who are favourites at $2.05. The draw there, $3.20. At 6 a.m., we've got Brazil, $1.25 short favourites against South Korea, who are $12 outsiders. A draw there, $5.50. Draw, actually, that's an interesting one. You can't have a draw in the round of 16, can you? Because
it's
after penalty
shootouts.
Yeah,
regulation time, draw. Yeah. You can back then, regulation time.
2 a.m. Wednesday, we've got Morocco, the underdog, $6.50 against Spain. You're on the Morocco bandwagon, Vossi, you were telling me in the break. Spain, $1.57 favourites, the draw, $3.70. 6 a.m. Wednesday, Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo is back on the pitch, $1.90 favourites over Switzerland, $4.40, the draw, $3.30. And 6 a.m. Saturday, Netherlands, $3.60. The outsiders against Argentina, $2.20. That will be a barnstormer.
That's $3.10 the draw. The Dutch bus. I'm on the Dutch bus.
That's a big game, isn't it? Netherlands versus Argentina. Probably be the highlight of the competition so far.
Sportsbet markets, gamble responsibly, of course. But you can follow Sportsbet, and they've been doing plenty at the Football World Cup. Now, we're bringing Michelle Bishop's sports update forward because John Aloisi will be our guest out of 7:30. This morning. So Michelle Bishop is back on a little earlier than normal with a sports update. And I was watching the news last night, seeing vision of the Warne family at the Sporting Hall of Fame. And we have both Shane Warne and Ron Clark named legends in the Sporting Hall of Fame overnight, Michelle.
Yeah, good morning again, guys. Very special moment. We've always thought of Warne as a bit of a legend. Now it is official. He's been given legend status in the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. And as you say, this alongside former middle distance runner Ron Clark. Both Victorian men joining a very elite club of 44 Australians. This is, it's incredibly fitting, I guess, for both. The fifth cricketer to be elevated in terms of Shane Warne. And he was also the first player to break the 700 wicket barrier. Clark broke 17 world records in his time. And as you say, Warne's children, they were absolutely just over the top with excitement with them last night. They've spoken about this latest achievement, of course, wishing that he was there to receive it. So it's been a little bit bittersweet for them.
I saw Jackson the other day. He's starting to look more and more like Shane every day.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and what gives you legend status, Michelle?
It's pretty simple, isn't it? Completely at the top of your game. And this is, Shane Warne was. And obviously the achievements with Ron Clark. Want to talk to you also this morning, guys, about some special efforts across the weekend with a couple of other athletes. I don't know a lot about Sinead Diver, but I've also heard a lot about Brett Robinson. But they have both broken long-standing national marathon records on the same day. So Sinead taking a minute off Benita Johnson's national marathon record. And a few hours later, in a total different country, Brett Robinson broke Rob DiCostella's national men's best. And that's been in place for 36 years. So Diver in Valencia, Spain, and Robinson in Japan. And to add to that, guys, they are actually training partners. They train together. Robinson's 31, Diver 45, and they are now our best endurance runners. What a special achievement.
45 years of age. There's hope for you yet, Vossi.
And me. Not really.
Yeah, no, exactly.
We're off that bus.
There's honestly, exactly, I'm not even going to buy into that. Michelle, well done. You'll be back at your regular time at 8.45 next hour.
See you at 8.45, guys. Bye.
Michelle Bishop with the sports update. John Aloisi not too far away on Breakfast with Vossi and the Missile. Thank you, Vanessa. We are here thanks to the great people at Bryden's Lawyers, the legal experts, you know that. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. Their number, keep it handy, put it in the phone, 1-800-848-848. And it's been a Tiger-free day so far. No mention. Oh, did we mention Mitchell Moses in relation to Tigers? Might have. Michelle, yeah. Just a brief mention. Right now, we've got a very special guest on the line. Of course, we are all still, well, you know, it's bittersweet. It was a wonderful performance. It's got to be one of the best performances by any Australian team in defeat. Maybe as good as Magnussen, second by 1/100th of a second. It's certainly up there. But who wasn't proud of what the Socceroos did yesterday against Argentina, the 2-1 defeat? And it was almost a case of, you know, what if, maybe, could have, all of those things. And right now, our very special guest on the line, Socceroos legend and coach of Western United, John Aloisi, joining us, of course, to discuss the Socceroos campaign. But let me tell you, he's also part of a very special series about to screen on Channel 10, which will document Western United's journey to create an A-League club from the ground up. It's called United. It's on 10 Play and Paramount Plus from Wednesday. But I'm pretty sure, as a former Socceroo, and a star in our qualification for the 06 World Cup, John Aloisi would be very proud of what he witnessed from the national team over the weekend. In fact, right through the tournament. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Where does it rank? The performance yesterday, it's defeat. It's 2-1 and we're knocked out of the round of 16. But where does that rank alongside matches that you've seen or been a part of in your life, John?
Yeah, it has to be right up there. Look, I'll go back to probably 2006 when we were pretty gallant in defeat against Italy, who became the eventual champions in the round of 16. We lost 1-0 last kick of the game. It was a penalty. But the boys just performed so well throughout the tournament. You know, there were questions being asked after the 4-1 drubbing of France, and the way they were able to turn it around and beat Tunisia and then go and beat Denmark, and then against a world-class team and arguably the best player of all time, Lionel Messi, and take it to them. And, you know, they were very unlucky not to get an equaliser towards the end. It has to be up there. It definitely does. You know, so proud to see the Socceroos do so well. And we haven't got the names, that playing at the highest level in the top European leagues. But as a team, I don't think anyone wanted to play against us.
John, if you had an open checkbook at Western United, and some of these EPL clubs do have an open checkbook, who would you be trying to sign from that Socceroos team that impressed you the most?
Oh, that's a good question. It's a bit hard to say because a few of them are already contracted to other A-League teams like Matthew Leckie and Craig Goodwin. Geraint Kwol is probably the most exciting. He's only 18 years old and he's got such a great future. He scored, coming in. Right at the end, he signed for Newcastle United in the Premier League, so I don't think I'll have a chance there. Young Backus, who started in the midfield, I thought did exceptionally well. Aziz Bayich, who I coached early on in his career at Melbourne Heart, he was exceptional. We nearly scored a Messi-esque-like goal. So I thought that he was probably our best player of the tournament. And big Harry Suter at the back, what a beast he is. And so calm on the ball. I thought he was also outstanding throughout the whole tournament.
It's good. You've written out a few checks there, John. Well done. I'm getting on Western United now, looking at the sports bet prices as we speak. That's quite a side you've put together. Look, I said yesterday, and suddenly everyone was a football expert and we're all buying and watching, but gee, there were some what-if moments or almost or coulds, right down to Cole at the finish. I mean, he could have, if it was just a little higher, it's going to go in top right corner, isn't it? And Australia's two all going off to a penalty shootout.
Yeah, there were so many of those moments. And look, you can even go back and you know, it's unfortunate Matt Ryan made that mistake, because I thought that he had an exceptional tournament, and he's our record, games at World Cups, at 10 games at the World Cup for Australia, along with Matthew Lecky. So he was exceptional. But, you know, that mistake, you know, did that cost us? You know, because Argentina weren't creating chances until that stage. They had that one messy moment that they scored, and they were finding it hard to break us down. And we had our moments. And, but, you know, that's part of football. You know, if you don't take your chances, then, you know, it comes back to bite you. But it was a positive performance. It was such a good performance from the boys.
We're just watching at the moment, John, England up 3-0 over Senegal. Who are your favourites to win the tournament now?
Yeah, that's a tough one. England have got France next game. France won 3-1 this morning against Poland. And Mbappe scored two amazing goals. He's on fire. And England look like they're unstoppable. And they meet each other next round. So, you know, Brazil, you can't go past them. You can't go past, you know, the Argentina still, because they're finding ways to win. You know, they've got the Netherlands next, who look strong under Louis van Gaal, an experienced coach. There's quite a few teams that could win. I can't really pinpoint one favourite, because I think there's a few that could go all the way.
All righty. And now, John, we need to talk about John Aloisi, the actor. Well, you are part of it. Now, honestly, when they do these docos and they follow you, and that's part of the deal, that, you know, Western United's journey last season, unlike anything else, vision to create an A-League club from the ground up, build a community, Melbourne's fastest growth corridor, all those things. But when it all boils down to it's football, it's about winning and losing, and it's going into the inner sanctum, and you're giving us, the viewer and the fan, unbelievable access. Was it all one take? I need to know that. We need to know that. Did you?
I can tell you now, Vossi, I did not act. Believe me, when you see the footage, you'll see there was a few angry moments. There was a few moments that, you know, the emotion gets the better of you. The camera follows you around, and half the time you don't even really think about it, because it just becomes normal. But it's a great watch, you know, especially the fifth and sixth episode, when, you know, it gets down to the final series, and, you know, the tension's there, the emotion's there. You know, even through from our chairman to the CEO, you know, having a bit of an argument with each other, because, you know, the chairman ran late for the photo. It's quite funny to see, because you can really sense the, you know, sometimes in sport there is tension and the nerves kick in. But it's a great story. The journey, it shows what the journey of the club at the start, you know, how hard it is for a club that come into it. You know, it's only three seasons old, but during the COVID period, and to try and build something, try and build a stadium, try and build a training precinct, a whole area. And it is, you know, going to be amazing once it's done. But, you know, the difficulties that they face. So all that's involved. It's a great storyline. And to win it within our third season is incredible.
Now, if I was in your shoes, John, I would have been a bit worried taking on this documentary, because I've got a theory that there's a bit of a jinx when they do documentaries like this. Now, I've watched Sunderland Till I Die, Welcome to Wrexham, and probably the saddest story of all, Tiger Town, about the West Tigers here in Sydney. Were you worried, having watched some of those other documentaries, that it could be a bit of a jinx on the club?
You know what? I was a little bit worried. I had no say, though, because the chairman said, we're doing it, and that's it. but I was a little bit worried, not because of the other docos. It's just that, because you don't know what can come out, how it could go pear-shaped. We didn't know, you know, that we're going to do well. We could have ended up bottom of the table, and that wouldn't have been a great look, would it? So it's one of those ones you just have to, you know, go with it and still, you know, be your own person and make sure that, you know, you're doing everything possible to get the team functioning and winning games.
Tell you what, there's a little bit of Clooney in you. I think a bit Clooney. I think a bit cross between a bit Clooney, Pacino, maybe Al Pacino, sort of any given Sunday. Yeah. Was there anything like that? You know, could you be a bit of Kevin Costner? Is it who would play John Aloisi if there had to be a stand-in? Have you thought about that? What actor?
Oh, I haven't thought about that one. I don't mind the George Clooney one. Maybe my grey hair, that's why the George Clooney shout's coming out.
All right.
But, I'm not sure.
I'll see if we can negotiate a similar paycheck to what George would be paid to get on the big screen. John, no, thank you for your thoughts on the Socceroos, mate. Must have brought back some great memories, too, of representing the World Cup. It really wasn't a magical ride. It was only brief, like it's only a few weeks, but so much action, so many highlights. And great to hear your thoughts, but look, seriously, on United, can't wait to see it. Fans absolutely lap this stuff up, and I am told that this is really one of the best. And the fact that they've hopped on board and you go on and win the damn thing, that's incredible. So it's going to be great to watch United on 10 Play and Paramount Plus from this Wednesday with John Aloisi, a.k.a. George Clooney. John, thanks for coming on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, boys.
There we go, John Aloisi. Get around it, United. A series with an access all areas pass into the inner workings of a newly formed football club, but in a year where they go on to win the A-League final. I mean, this was a club that had no home ground, hemorrhaging literally millions of dollars, had a streak of losses and had sacked their first coach. So, to pick it up and turn it around, documentary, you're right, James.
I'm telling you, there is a jinx. I've watched so many of these docos, Bossy, and every time they end in tears. Every time. Yeah. If I was them, I would have been so worried about taking that on. But it's a good news story, so I'm pumped to watch one where there's a happy ending.
Yeah, there you go. You had to put it into the Tigers. There I was just saying, pumping up right, and we haven't done anything Tigers. And you bring it into the John Aloisi. All right. As we head to the break, here's Vanessa with Sydney's traffic.
You're with Vossi in the Missile today. I'm standing in for Brandy while he's down at Bondi in the Sluggos, which Vossi refuses to do. Today, Vossi, is day 3 of Joel and Fletcher's 9 days of Dogmas. We all love being with our family for Christmas, and like us, dogs want to be with family too. So together with Greyhounds as Pets, we are making it our mission to find a home for these beautiful dogs just in time for Christmas. Today, meet Sunny. Sunny can catch toys when you throw them to her, and she is apartment suitable. If you love the sound of Sunny, all you need to do is head to gapnewsouthwales.com.au.
That is gapnsw.com.au. Joel and Fletch, we're putting in the big ones. Hope Brandy's having a good day. 3-0 England over Senegal. So it's going to be England versus France in the quarterfinals of the Football World Cup. Thanks to Kraken, like a leading keeper with Kraken. Your crypto is in good hands at kraken.com. Let's go back to the text now. Plenty of them there. This one from Rex of Lidcombe, and you can answer the question, James. Where would you put the Tiger Town video in a DVD store? In the horror movie or comedy section? That's a savage. Rex asked that question. You want to answer it, James?
I think probably horror movie it turned into, didn't it? It still was so... I eat that stuff up there, Vossi. Yeah, I love exactly. The sports docos. Yeah. It was still so interesting. I wish they'd do one about State of Origin, all access State of Origin.
I think they tried to, actually. They were trying to do it.
Something, I think Wayne Bennett might have turned it down.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. This one from Crisco. I've been to the Fish Market car park. Does that count? I had to say with the ute as the boss had to duck in, so he had to stay in the ute. So he never actually got out. See, I haven't even been to the car park of the Fish Markets. So I just got no desire.
Are there any other notable Sydney destinations that you haven't been to, Vossi? We've got Bondi and Fish Markets.
Won't be doing a bridge climb.
Won't be doing a bridge climb?
No, I won't be doing a bridge climb anytime soon.
But you've been across it?
I've driven across the bridge.
Oh, you haven't walked across it, though. You've got to walk across it.
I'm not going to do the bridge climb. I'm not going to climb up the bridge. And that's not my go. Not my go. Filthy. And this is Philfy, as we always don't think I'm mispronouncing. Morning, boys. The diving in soccer is the reason I just can't watch it. But unfortunately, I feel it's slowly coming into rugby league and getting worse every year.
It is. It is. Yeah. I'm with you, Filthy. We've got to stamp it out because, like soccer, there's obviously a tipping point where you're too far gone to reel it back in. So we've got to get on top of it, Filthy.
Yeah, but when we're talking diving, it's not so much the dive. Players are going to play for that. It's the rolling around.
Yeah.
Come on, that's what's embarrassing.
It's traumatic.
The dive is still going to happen, but the rolling around in pain, you know, where the ball hits in the leg and you hold your head and all that sort of business, come on.
Yeah, it's just embarrassing.
Should be banned for a year.
Dunny says, he's made a bit of an observation on you, Vossi. He says, Vossi's never been to the fish market, but every curry house in Manchester.
No, just about, no.
I'm going to throw another one at you, Vossi. Have you been to Summer Bay, Palm Beach?
Palm Beach up the left end. I've been to Palm Beach, but not up the Summer Bay end. No,
okay.
I've never been up the Summer Bay. And I mean, we're talking maybe once in my life I've been to Palm Beach.
Okay.
A bit far, isn't it? A bit far.
Yeah, it's far. Bondi's not far, though, so it's not necessarily the distance that gets you.
Yeah. Okay. This one from Mick. Okay, something re-Tigers. Here we go. A curious whisper that Moses and Brooks have had a discussion about getting the band back together, having a chat with Nathan Brown and James Tedesco, combined with the Sheens, Benji and Robbie coaching. P.S. Moses was seen at the COE last
Centre of Excellence.
Oh, Centre of Excellence. That's what it stands for. Getting a haircut, maybe.
It might have been. This one from Marcel says, G'day V&M. Can you confirm that the NRL bunker representatives were on duty in Qatar during the Japan versus Spain match?
Japan versus Spain, where the ball went over the line or thereabouts. Yeah, that's a tough call. Was it? Mark, you want to make the call on that one? Who was in charge of that?
It wasn't over the line. It was still in play.
Still in play.
That was a strange rule, isn't it? Because the ball can be over the line
from the
as long
angle,
as there's
top
one part that's still in. Yeah, strange rule. I don't like it.
Yeah.
What's the point of having lines, Mark?
And this one, I was talking about whippersnippers earlier. They just had to keep replacing the thread. Why don't they last longer? Thanks for the advice here from Ben. He says, Vossi, you need to get yourself the bump feed whipper head. You can get up to 3-4 metres of cord in one go on your whipper head. So you get it on and it just peels off. That sounds like, you know, they'll be putting man on the moon next. That's great stuff. 6 minutes to wait. It's Vossi and the Missile right here. And we're great that we have James as co-host of the program this time of year in particular. A lot of people are on the Christmas circuit because things have gone back to normal. So there's Christmas parties and what have you, and people have big nights and all of that. And James is our go-to when it comes to physical fitness, running Tribe Gym there at Marrickville. How do you get through it? Is it a good thing to train the morning after a big night out? There's a point to start this last hour of the program today, James.
Yes, sweat it out. Sweat out the hangover, Vossi. Maybe don't get up early. Still give yourself a decent sleep. But when you do wake up, get outside, get some sunshine and work out to work off that hangover. It definitely helps. Vossi, can I give you a stat over Christmas around health?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, please do.
So the average person in Australia puts on 2.5 kilos over the Christmas period.
2.5.
That's quite a bit. However, the one thing I think with that statistic is don't be hard on yourself over the Christmas period if you do put on a bit of weight. You're not on your own. It's not unusual. It's hard to stick to a routine and to eat healthily over Christmas. So don't be too harsh on yourself this Christmas time if you do put on a little bit of weight.
Okay, all right. So there you go. He's given us a little leave pass there, James, that it's okay. Just to have that little few extra, you know, helpings there on Christmas Day and times around 2.5 kilos is the average figure. Average figure.
Average. 2.5. Average.
So I'm putting on like 6 and 7.
Yeah. try to keep control of it, but don't be too harsh on yourself at Christmas time.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, look, if you want inspiration over the summer, and Michelle Bishop has done this morning, mentioning the name of Brett Robinson. Now, one of the longest standing records in Australian athletics was until the weekend, Rob DiCostella's marathon record, Boston Marathon, 207.51. Now, that has been around since 1986, 36 years ago. Rob DiCostella ran 207.51. Well, on the weekend, Brett Robinson made history in Japan. He broke the Australian record. He has now got that all on his own. He did it in 2:07:20. What did he do? He did his personal best. His personal best he lowered by 2:21 to break the record of Rob DiCostella by some 20 seconds. It's a pretty outstanding performance on the marathon course. Brett Robinson, 31 years of age. And you've got to think, James, you've been around these elite athletes. Maybe his best is still to come.
I think
now
so,
now that he's knocked
yeah.
that over, he's 31. He's a name we should know about in Olympics mode and all that sort of thing, Brent Robinson.
For those distance events, they do peak quite a bit later. It's one of the events, though, the marathon, where you need everything to line up perfectly on the day. So you need the right conditions, you need the right course with not too many hills, you need the right pacing from your competitors. You need to wake up basically feeling perfect. You can't be a little bit off, or it's a long day ahead of 42 kilometres of running. So obviously the perfect day there, and the record falls.
Well, another thing, we do have to make the point, he did only finish fourth. Even though he's broken a 36-year record, Australian record, it still was only good enough to get him fourth position. But I'm just saying, now that he's got that, he's probably more inspired than ever to get better and better. So there's one of the stars of the weekend, Brett Robinson. Well done, breaking the Australian record in the marathon. Just on the football, England have completed a 3-0 victory over Senegal this morning. Very convincing performance. Likewise, France over Poland 3-1. So they are now opponents in the quarterfinal stage. So we know Netherlands playing Argentina, France v England. The match is still to come for Kraken. Like a leading keeper with Kraken, your crypto is in good hands. Kraken.com. 2 a.m. tomorrow, Japan v Croatia. The 6 a.m. game tomorrow is Brazil v South Korea. And then Wednesday, 2 a.m. Morocco v Spain. And the 6 a.m. game, Portugal, Switzerland. And just to temper that, it's a great time for football, obviously, with the World Cup. But the Brazil coach, Cesar Sampaio, has said, we should all send a prayer to Pelé. 82 years of age, we reported last week, taken to hospital, and they were saying, well, you know, he's got lots of issues at the moment, but he should be okay. But one paper reporting out of Brazil over the weekend, he is now receiving end-of-life care.
Oh,
so, Pelé, prayers for Pelé, greatest of all time. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. It is 9 minutes after 8 on this Monday morning. All right then, on Breakfast with Vossie and the Missile on this Monday morning, let's go into review mode of the first cricket test between Australia and the West Indies. The Aussies completing the victory yesterday by 164. A dogged West Indies, it must be said. They did put up a degree of fight when many feared it may be a three-day test before things got underway last week. We have the one and only Ian Healy on the line. He's a part of the SEN Network, as you know. Heels, welcome again to the program.
Thanks very much, Vossie. G'day, James.
A few words to sum up the test, because as I said in the introduction, you know, a few people feared, oh no, three-day test is going to be all over. But there was at least a bit of fight from the West Indies.
Yes, that's right. Dogged's a good word that you used, I reckon. And they surprised plenty of people, the West Indies, because everyone expected their bowling to be better than their batting, but it was the other way around. So the top order, Chanderpaul, fantastic start in his test career, following up his dad, and Brathwaite, the captain, you know, they were really good and withstood a lot of pressure. And then I think it was a pretty good hit out for Australia. They played really, really well and couldn't play much better. They looked hungry, they looked sharp, and they're getting ready. That will stand them in good stead when they need to be sharp under pressure against South Africa in the test matches coming up after the West Indies.
Yeah, it was one of the big talking points coming out of the match, particularly that second innings, was the fitness or the health of Pat Cummings. He wasn't able to bowl on the last day. How was he looking coming into that second test?
Well, I wouldn't think he's looking too good. But he got teased yesterday. Did you? You mightn't have seen it, but he was out in the field, like being the captain, and a ball went past him. He just let it go past him, and then he could see, geez, I can get this, and he picked up his pace again and had to then bend down, flick it back, and jump over that little foam triangle, and then hit the fence. So he thought, oh, what? He would have been thinking then, what have I done? But you know, I was pleased to hear that in the press afterwards, he said it was just tightness of a quad. So, and he was expecting to be right for Thursday. So that's pretty good, but big ask to bowl with a, you know, suspect quad and still play against South Africa soon after that. So not sure, but he was optimistic.
All right, well, on another bowler, Heels. Now, you kept behind the stumps to the great Shane Warne, and Warney, 708 wickets. Now, Nathan Lyon, now 446 test wickets at 31.91. Strike rate, picks up a wicket every 65 balls, yet there are still some that don't want to put him into the top bracket. Where does, it's a discussion point for us this morning, where does Nathan Lyon rank as bowlers? Obviously, the numbers are great, but is he a great bowler, Heels?
Oh, no, that's a good debate, I reckon. His average, he works hard for his wickets, and he doesn't spin the ball a whole lot. So what he's got to do is do what he does. He drifts it, he puts it in a difficult length at a pace which is hard to get at, and eventually wears you down. So I think, and it's a very difficult craft. There's not a whole lot of deception to what he does out of his hand. So he's mastered that. Yeah, I think he's a great bowler. He's certainly the best off-spin bowler, well, in the world, I'd reckon, and definitely in Australia. So I don't really mind what people say, whether he's great or not, but he's been outstanding to sort of support those quicks we've got, and a very durable athlete. You know, the way he throws himself around in the field, he's never injured, and he'll play. He's got years left in him yet. He's not that old. He's not as old as he looks sometimes. So he'll build that record even further.
We saw the return of Steve Smith's form in the first innings, and minus Labuschagne across both innings. With those two on a roll, are Australia near impossible in these test matches this summer?
Yeah, definitely. And the West Indies need to find an answer there. They've got an injury now to Kemo Roach, and they're flying someone out. How ridiculous is that? In two tests, you haven't got a backup to your main bowler. I can't even remember his name now. He's got a really trendy name. He should be a great player. So he'll have to fly out and play a day-night test in Adelaide by the sound of it. They need to get wickets. You need 20 wickets to win a test, don't you? You have to. Well, I guess the side can declare on you in the first innings, but you must get 10 wickets in the second. And they didn't. Our number six didn't even get a bat in the test. So they've got real work to do with the ball. And so Steve Smith, that was a question. Yeah, wasn't it? That's the best I've seen him bat. He was so stable at the crease. He was decisive. He hit the ball hard. And you can hit the ball hard if you're balanced and you're set. Your feet are set, and gee, he played well. So he enjoyed it himself. That's a worry for bowlers for the rest of the summer. I think it's a really, really good sign for Australia.
Heels, that bowler you're thinking of, Marquino Mindley. What a name, Marquino Mindley.
Yeah.
Eminem. He's he's going to come out into a pick ball test. Heels, always great to catch up with you, mate. We love getting your thoughts on Test cricket, on all forms of cricket, and mate, we probably won't get a chance to talk again this summer, or this leading up to Christmas anyway, mate. So thanks for your contribution and your works on SEN, and have a great Christmas with you and the family.
You're welcome, fellas, and Vossi, and maybe next time you could ring a bit earlier, eh? See ya.
It is Vossi in the Missile on this Monday morning. We're asking the question, is Nathan Lyon a great bowler? Do you call him a great? At what point does he, if he's not a great, does he become a great? 446 wickets. Is it just about the numbers? Is he a great bowler? Have your say in between now and 9 o'clock. 1300 01 1170 is the open line number. You can text 0457 736 736. Now, James, we've been talking about spinners, and not just Nathan Lyon, but a backup spinner going to India next year. Todd Murphy keeps getting a mention. Now, we had Adam Zampa on the program last week, played his first-class game in 3 years. And I keep saying Adam Zampa deserves at least to be considered, but how does he press his claims if he doesn't get any first-class cricket, doesn't get any four-day games? Well, finally he plays one. He takes 3 for 57 in the first innings against Victoria, but sadly none for 49 in the second.
Mm.
And this young bloke they're talking up, Todd Murphy, 3 for 44 in the first innings, and yesterday 4 for 42 in New South Wales second innings. He took four of the top five batsmen. I reckon Todd Murphy could be, you know, he might be it. He might now become.
Are we talking off spin, Vossi?
Yes. We're talking, and he's a young fella. I mean, Nathan Lyon is now 35. I think Todd Murphy might be the bus that the Australian selectors hop on to groom as the replacement for Nathan Lyon.
I like it. Todd Murphy, remember the name.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it? A spinner taking four of the top five wickets, the four of the top five batsmen he's got out. He's taken seven for the match. So his stocks are going up. And I asked that question for $1.7 million cash earlier in the morning. When is the next Sheffield Shield match? Have you remembered the answer, what I told you?
February.
Yeah, but the date.
The 5th.
It's the 9th. So February the 9th. Can you believe that competition? When we have Test cricket going on all summer. What if Australia played poorly yesterday and then lost the second Test? And that, how would players press their claims for the Test side? No one plays first-class cricket in this country. It's only Big Bash and shortened form now. Between now and February the 9th. That's incredible. It's more than 2 months off in our summer. It's a summer sport, and we only play the shortened form for 2 months.
Very strange.
Doesn't seem right, does it? No. And the test side. There we go. 23 minutes after 8. Rip into the text, James. Rip into the texts.
Rob, he wants to get serious on dives in football. So if a player dives, they should be made to carry a skull and wear a cape a la Hamlet. If you want to act, do your best work, Cobber.
That's rather extreme out there. This one. Missile, cut those kilos at Christmas. Get out and play golf. I always hit off 6:30 Boxing Day, walk Christmas food off, then sit down all day for Boxing Day cricket. So Rodney's got that suggestion.
What about
golf? Is that enough? The walk in golf, is that enough to get the heart rate to be of great benefit?
If you can get those 10,000 steps in, Vossi, that's the magic number. 10,000 steps a day. If you can get that in on the golf course, then that'll do it.
But keep up a reasonable clip. Don't just meander.
Yeah.
Just keep up a clip.
Don't take out the buggy. Make sure you're on the foot falcon. But yeah, that'll do it.
Obviously the buggy would defeat the purpose, wouldn't it? So you're saying Boxing Day, go out and play golf in the buggy.
Yeah,
That's going to be your exercise? What, just walking from the buggy to the green for a putt?
Yeah, no, the buggy, you won't cut it, Bossy.
No. Space Ghost, James, what do you think of this one? Hey, boys, as a long-suffering Tigers fan, I can just see it now that the Tigers won't get Moses and all the delaying of the Bateman deal will mean he'll go somewhere else too. I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks, God help us. Space Ghost.
Yeah, well, look, I don't think all is lost, Space Ghost, because you've already got a number of really good signings in Clemmer, Papali'i, Coruscant. So not all is lost, but yeah, I wouldn't be confident on getting Mitch Moses, that's for sure.
Creation of points, forward pack looks excellent. Creation of points might be a different issue. Mm. The Daggy Dragon, have we ever heard from the Daggy Dragon before, James? Who is the Daggy Dragon?
No, I don't know the name.
Well, the Daggy Dragons come on with a text. Another challenge for Vossi can be to visit a certain gym in Marrickville. Oh, I forgot. No pain, no pain. Says the Daggy Dragon. Your gym?
Yes. Tribe Gym in Marrickville. You would have got your steps up yesterday, Vossi, whippersnippering. Acres of land. How much?
Talking like a 10, 11-hour stint, non-stop.
10, 11 hours?
Yeah, out in the yard, yeah.
Wow.
Big Bunnings hat on. Where the Bunnings hat?
Oh, the big straw hat.
Yeah, the big Bunnings hat.
Shirt on or off?
Shirt on.
That's disappointing.
Shirt on. You'd burnt to a crisp. No, thank you for your interest. Thank you, Daggy Dragon, for the text. I'm happy to drop into James's gym, but I can't say that I'll partake in the purpose of the gym. What would you have me do? If I walked through the doors and turned up in shorts and runners and ready to go, what would you have me do straight off the bat?
I reckon, Vossi, I would get you on the ski erg. So it almost simulates skiing. So you've got the double handles and you do the skiing motion. Awesome for getting fit and burning some calories.
All right, well, I won't be coming. Now, Rafa says, morning, boys. Matt Ryan made some good saves, so he could give or take the end score. That's true. I mean, testament to this bloke's character. He did do a couple of... What about the save where he was going the wrong way? It can't be a fluke. He got his legs up. He reacted with his legs and was able to stop the ball.
Yeah, he stuck the foot out. Yeah. I felt sorry for Matt Ryan because it's the one moment that most people will remember from the World Cup for him was that little blunder that led to the French goal. But other than that, he was outstanding.
It was a big blunder.
It was a blunder. It was a blunder. It was one of those ones you see on the mishap videos or the funniest home videos or something like that where the goalie gets confident and the guy...
See what I hate here? Mark, our Scotsman, our panellist, is smiling to this. Mark, yeah. What are you, sadistic or what, what's this? Taking some joy at that?
No, not at all. You wouldn't even dream of it. No, I'm just glad it was the Scotsman that didn't make the mistake. It was the Australian. The keeper that probably shouldn't have been starting the games anyway. That's another story.
Oh, wow. Out of nowhere.
I think Australia's best keeper was still at home, personally. But, you know, I'll say what I say.
Mark's making a big one. This is his last appearance for the year on the Breakfast Program, and he's really putting in. This one, I can't get into soccer. Too many Pam Shrivers.
Yeah.
So, Pam Shriver being a diver.
Diver.
So there you go. World Cup is done. It's now the summer of Gus. World Cup is done. It's now the summer of Gus. You mean Gus Gould?
Gus Gould.
No, that's interesting text.
Interesting. Yeah.
Bit more Bulldogs talk, please, on the text. He's a little far away. Rapid fire text. You got any Bulldogs chat for us, James, today? Something?
Oh, transfer whispers, Vossie. The ones being thrown around still. Stephen Crichton from the Panthers. Spencer Leniu from the Panthers. Coming, one thing I'd like for Christmas for the Bulldogs is add just one more player to the spine. I don't know whether that's halfback or fullback. I like Avarillo and Flanagan in their own right, but I'd just like one more player in the spine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's the Bulldogs talk over and done. Vossi, you need to get yourself... We've done the whippersnipper. Thank you for that. People get in touch with whippersnipper. I just don't know. But that's so you can buy a whippersnipper now that you don't have to change it. There's sort of 3-4 metres of the junk inside the actual whippersnipper. That's amazing. This one, a great defeat. We're talking great defeats because we really do regard the 2-1 loss to Argentina as one of the best performances by Australia in defeat in any sport. This one, a great defeat, was at the Seoul Olympic Games when Grant Davies was announced winner of gold in the kayak K1000. America protested and Grant lost by 4/1000ths of a second.
1,000th?
4/1000ths.
How did they judge that? I didn't know they did that either. There you go.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you for that text. And this one, would you consider the 2005 Ashes in England as a great loss, considered the best series of all time? There, Mark's thrown a curly one at us to cogitate during the news breakfast with Vossie and the Missile. Make the last half hour all yours. Get on the open line, 1300 01 1170, and talk about the range of topics or anything you like, really. 1300 01 1170.
Yeah, thanks, Vanessa. We're here for Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. This is the part of the show that's all yours. Give us a call on the open line, 1300 01 1170, or text us on 0457 736 736. Vossie, I missed one about the Bulldogs. I should have mentioned this. This is Bakes on the text line. He says, morning, boys. Interested on your thoughts about the Bulldogs signing Bronson Cherry for 2024. What do you reckon?
2024. Well,
redemption story.
Okay, I'll do potentially unpopular opinion. Bronson, stay off the selfies. don't need to see Bronson Cherry in the gym selfies, buffed up and new tattoos and all of that. I don't think that helps his cause. I think Bronson, just stay out of the limelight before you come back.
Well, It doesn't help his case when he was banned for performance-enhancing drugs and he now looks almost twice the size of when he was banned, doesn't he? He's a big guy now. I don't know if he'll be able to come back. Training hard
and all that, but I'm just saying stay off the selfies. So, I'm saying that I'm being serious to Bronson Cherry. Just go quietly, go about your work, stay off social media and make your way back into the sport, and I wish you well.
You know, one of the hardest things, Vossi, when a player or an athlete gets banned for doping, you're actually not allowed to train with a registered coach or any other registered players or athletes. So he'd be doing all that stuff on his own. You wouldn't be able to work with a strength coach, sprint coach, other athletes, retired athletes. You literally have to go to a sporting field or a running track or a swimming pool on your own and stay in shape of your own accord.
Well, good luck to him if he stayed motivated and coming back. Look, again, no ill will. No dramas at all. Did the crime, will serve his time in full. But that's just a bit of, call it fatherly advice or whatever. I'm just saying stay off the social media. Just bail out, drop out, and just work quietly towards this comeback, this second shot at being an NRL player. That's my opinion on that one. Did you see the cricket? I know I've been putting things out here today, but you've been a bit, don't want to get there. Over there in the England-Pakistan series, so set up for a thrilling conclusion today. Pakistan 2 for 80, chasing 343. But England's second innings, this Harry Brook, 87 off 65. He hit 11 fours and 3 sixes. That's to go with his first innings of 153 off 116 when he hit 19 fours and 5 sixes. Now, I'll do the maths for you. He hit 30 fours. He hit 8 sixes. He scored 240 runs off 181 deliveries. That's the best hitting in the history of Test cricket.
You're kidding.
I don't think anyone could have done that in two innings ever. No one scored at that rate across two innings of a Test match. That many fours, that many sixes. 240 runs he has scored off 181 balls across two innings.
I'll be honest with you, Bossy. That's
incredible aggression.
It's the first time I've heard the name. Is he new to the team?
No, that's his second Test.
Second test.
He played one Test against South Africa and scored 12. And he's come out in this Test, again, I say those numbers, 153 off 116 balls. And then he got 87 off 65 in the second innings. And this is a Test match. And then Joe Root, in the second inning, started batting left-handed.
What?
And smashed the ball. Went left-handed. Not
Are you
reverse
kidding?
Sweep, none of that. No, took guard, batting left-handed. And hit it as sweet as any left-hander in the world.
There you go.
This attitude of the England team, redefining what cricket's all about. The gentleman's game.
They're in a purple patch, aren't they? They've got both World Cups under the belt at the moment. And now the Test cricket looks like it's falling into line as well.
Well, see, they might even lose here, but that's part of their attacking attitude, their aggression. They're having a crack. They want a result. So they set Pakistan something, tough, but albeit gettable, 343 in over a day. And they've got them 2 for 80. So there you go. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Back on the text line right now, an opinion comes in thick and fast. Davo, about Bronson Sherry. As a Shark supporter, I would have been happy if Bronson got 10 years. Glad we didn't re-sign a drug cheat. That's going to be the baggage that Bronson Sherry has to be prepared to cop.
Yeah.
People will have that opinion. And we read out the texts as they come in. This one, League Chat. Tommy Turbo looks super fit from Homer Sport. Have you seen Tommy Turbo lately? I've seen him in the New South Wales jersey.
What is it? Oh, that jersey was an absolute shocker. I was not a fan of that jersey. Super fit, yeah. I mean, really doesn't matter this time of year how he looks. It's how he looks.
How the hamstrings are.
Yeah,
that's
how
what
he looks.
Cares about. How's the hamstring?
Really,
how's
the... Yeah, mid to late season is the time when they need him.
Mind you, those jumpers these days, if you are carrying...
Oh, that shows.
It shows out.
It shows.
So he looked pretty good. The Westpac logo across the front looked pretty good on Tommy Turbo. It looked different if it was on a bloke with a big commie cut sticking out over the waist, wouldn't it?
Yeah. In saying that, though, I don't think I've ever seen Tom Turbo look out of shape. I think he presents pretty well every time I've seen him.
Yeah. John's got a savage blow. That's what the text line's for. Every goalkeeper goal error in future will now be called a Matt Ryan. You've had a Matt Ryan.
Oh,
that's a bit.
I hope not. But he did so well throughout the rest of the tournament. Yeah, the baby Panthers, brackets the Bulldogs, will win a comp in the next couple of years. Then they'll be in the same position as they won't be able to afford everyone. Develop your own, your peanuts. You're not the Roosters, the dirty flamingo.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
This one, Lyon isn't great. He's good. Nathan Lyon isn't a great bowler. He's good. How many wickets in his total are numbers 1 to 5 batsmen has he got? He mainly cleans up the tail.
Ooh.
So we've downgraded Nathan Lyon there from great to good. I just think it's a debate. I mean, his figures are great. Like, his accumulation now, and he's in the top 10 all time. I mean, it's 446 test wickets. But is he a great bowler? Figures are great, but is he a great bowler? And that's a discussion we're having. It's not saying that he's not a very, very good player at the very least, Nathan Lyon. you can't possibly bluff your way through to 446 test wickets.
No.
Be ridiculous to suggest that. But the average, people look at the average, and the average is just under 32. The strike rate, 65, one every 65 balls. Warnie was only one every 57. So Nathan Lyon, we're having that discussion this morning at 21 minutes to nine.
And today, Vossi, it's day three of Joel and Fletcher's 9 days of Dogmas. We all love being with our family for Christmas, and like us, dogs want to be with family too. So together with Greyhounds as Pets, we are making it our mission to find a home for these beautiful dogs just in time for Christmas. Today, meet Stanley, who has the best eyebrows and loves a nap inside on his bed. If you love the sound of Stanley, all you need to do is head to Gap New South Wales, that's gapnsw.com.au. And as we head to the break, here's Vanessa with Sydney's traffic. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, yeah. Thanks, guys. At Tempe this morning, there's been...
It is Vossie and the Missile all this week here on the Home of Sport SEN, 1170 AM here in Sydney and the SEN Network. A reminder, our coverage of the cricket will resume on Thursday, the pink ball test. Coverage, full coverage here on SEN and full coverage of all the Football World Cup matches now that we're down to the pointy end of the competition as well. Best thing, download the app and that way SEN is with you all day, all day, all night, all night. Michelle Bishop with a sports update, the last one on this Monday. And you were casting a keen eye on post-match of the Socceroos against Argentina. Michelle, what do you bring to the table in this report? What did you observe?
Good morning again, guys. A little bit fired up for my last one, but a few of the Socceroos have been criticised for approaching Lionel Messi after their loss to Argentina for a photo or a selfie. Now, let me explain this. It wasn't on the ground, and I still wouldn't even have a problem if it was. It was behind the scenes. Yes, they were freshly knocked out of the World Cup, but, you know, are we really taking issue with a couple of Aussie blokes snapping a moment for their man cave or their pool room in years to come so they can sit back and say, on this day, it was super special, tell their grandkids, I played against the world's best. So Keanu Backus and Joel King, they led the way. They were among the Socceroos who walked up a corridor. They were actually quite cute, if you ask me. They didn't approach with any confidence and they sort of said, you know, Messi, could we, you know, have a photo? So he stopped and he had one, went to kind of turn around and then they all kept coming. So he was quite happy to accommodate. And in the background of the vision, you can actually see the Argentina, the security there at their dressing room having a bit of a chuckle because it was cute. I've got more of an issue, guys, with the team shirts. They look like pajamas. They ruined the photo. They were horrible. Yes, I don't know whether you saw the uniform.
Yeah, but, I agree with that.
Well done to Messi. He was extremely accommodating. And as I say, this will be a very special moment. We've all done it. I mean, I've just been on the whole, this was my fourth Australian, you know, tour with the Australian Kangaroos. And I've got photos that we look back and go, wow, yeah, I remember that at that. And they're special moments.
Who's your James? Messi in the collection?
Yeah, no, but
Jack Whiten.
Jack Whiten.
Okay. I was going to say, James, as someone who's been to the Olympics behind the scenes and there's some big names, you know, did you get a selfie?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a, especially in 2000, I've got a whole book, obviously working with the Seven Network at the Olympics. There's, you know, Ian Thorpe, there's Kathy Freeman, some amazing photos.
Yeah, but you're a journo, you're a journo, you're a reporter, you cross paths. I'm talking about James Magnuson, the athlete here. Is he prepared to make an admission?
I haven't had one with you, James.
No.
We'll have to organise that.
In all honesty, Vossie, I actually don't have photos with any of those people. The reason being, it's almost an unwritten rule between athletes that you don't do that.
Is that right?
Because you're there, yeah. When you're in an Olympic village or you're at the swimming pool, you're there to compete. You're at work, and it is a punish. If you imagine Michael Phelps is trying to warm up for his eighth race at the Olympics. And he's got a line of people asking for photos. It is
a punish. Timing.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't just be doing it whenever. Yeah, timing is a thing.
Yeah, timing is a thing. But between athletes, it is a bit of an unwritten rule.
So you don't even ask. You don't ask.
No. And I have met, you know, Kobe Bryant, Serena Williams, Rafael Nadal, all those people, but never asked for a photo.
Did they ask for one with you?
Certainly not. For different reasons, I imagine.
That was high quality bruising. What was those names you just said there? Kobe Bryant, Serena Williams.
Yeah, they wouldn't like that on the Mowers Club.
Yeah, nice work. All right,
Shaq's my interrupt. Biggest name. Can I, Bruce?
Oh, that's a good one.
Shaquille O'Neal.
You went off with Shaq's ring, didn't you?
I did.
You walked off with the ring. Yeah.
Had to give it back.
All right. Let's move on to the sports update.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly mention, talking of the Eels offering Mitchell Moses a $1 million deal, and both the West Tigers and the Bulldogs superseding that with more dollars. The Dogs might be in a position in terms of salary cap to offer bigger money, but I can confirm the Bulldogs have not made an offer. They've not put an offer on the table to Mitchell Moses. Sure, there's interest. They have the money to spend. They will be in the market for quality players, especially in the halves. They've, of course, got Kyle Flanagan off contract at the end of 2023. But they won't be entering into any bidding wars. They say that they're, they're placed really nicely in the market. Cam Seroldo wants to sort of get in and have a good look at what he's got there and what's available, so they're in no rush. So I'm not sure that we can, can't confirm definitely whether or not the West Tigers are, prepared to stump up more cash, but I can definitely tell you that Bulldogs have not put an offer on the table. But just before I go, I want to talk about, we see some average behaviour at sporting venues. It's really unusual to see kids left in tears at the NBL, guys, but that's exactly what we saw on the weekend. Normally a family friendly atmosphere, but that went out the window on Saturday night at the John Cain Arena, where an incident broke out in the crowd, leaving families and those sort of sitting around shaken and scared. It's alleged two men in Melbourne United fan gear were involved in an altercation with another man before half time. Witnesses say it got extremely heated, a real verbal exchange, got a bit physical. Both the parties at one stage were separated. Obviously, security came along, colourful language, and that was a real concern for parents. They were removed, they were ejected. The Phoenix and the Melbourne club are both going to follow this up with the stadium, and obviously those types won't be welcome back. But yeah, left some kids in a real shaken position and very scared.
Producer Ben, would you like to defend yourself after those allegations?
Guys, I will leave you just quickly with this one too. And a bit hot under the collar with this one, and I think, someone needs to be banned from the AFL for this one, but releasing round one details of their competition for the 2023 season at 6 a.m. yesterday. There was a small game involving our national soccer team, playing in the World Cup, and some brainiac thought that was a great idea to, try and share in the limelight to release the round one details for the AFL season next year. Give yourself an uppercut.
Oh,
on that,
that
one,
so
I'm out of here.
Yeah, no wonder you're fired up. I mean, that's just plain weird. That's just weird.
What were you AFL, thinking?
What are you doing? Thank you, Michelle. Good strong end to the day.
Talk tomorrow, gents.
7:09. You still got a chance to send in a text. We'll see how we go. And then plenty more coming your way on SEN today. Breakfast it is. Just having a little sandwich.
I like the look of that sandwich.
I just couldn't wait. I couldn't wait till 9 o'clock. I was just, the hunger pains got the better of me. I just could not wait till the end of the program. Sorry about that. Apologies there. Breakfast with, that doesn't happen often, but I'm just starved. Didn't sort of have dinner and just couldn't wait any longer. A couple of sandwiches. Crack open. You know what's on the sandwiches?
What?
Banana.
Banana sandwich. Butter?
Yeah, banana sandwiches. Lots of, about an inch of butter.
Okay.
About an inch of fresh butter, fresh bread, banana. Now, text to finish. Ursula makes this point. Morning, isn't it the job of the opening bowlers to take out the top order? The lack of appreciation for Nathan Lyon is shocking, but maybe the only spinner we're supposed to respect is Warney. Now, Charlie Goodsir has gone through the numbers, crunched the numbers on Nathan Lyon and the wickets he takes. 41% of his wickets, which equates to 184, have been batsmen 4-7. So there you go.
That's respectable.
That's a fair number of decent batsmen.
Yep.
41%.
Very respectable. I think we land on... Great. Vossie, Nathan Lyon is great.
Now, Snackers of Canberra's having a crack at me. He says, rightio, Vossie, you can always choose not to view the imbecile social media post. Him putting the pics up and you whipping or whinging about it is a race to the bottom, and I ain't no Sherry or Cronulla fan. No, Snackers, I don't go search. I wouldn't know what his handles are. I don't go looking for Bronson Sherry's social media, but those social media posts end up in the paper, and you see those photos, and people then draw a conclusion from those photos. I think in his best interests, if I was advising Bronson Cherry on both PR exercise and coming back to the game, I'd just stay off it. I wouldn't be posting any photos that get picked up by any media outlet and get circulated anywhere. But thank you for the feedback, Snackers. That's what it's all about, putting the slipper in.
Leave the topless selfies to me, Vossie. I'll keep that content coming for you.
Fantastic. What a great way to finish, James. Can't wait till tomorrow morning when we do it all again. See you then.
See you then, Bossy. Enjoy the banana sandwich.
Matty White coming up between 9 and 12 here on SEN.